Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 422. Well, did everybody enjoy San Diego last week? Really exciting. The cosplay was fantastic.
It was about the same for me as it is every year.
The panels were outstanding. The information was awesome.
Lots of great announcements this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see all those trailers?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the movies, I mean, they're booming. They've been booming all summer.
I think Empire Strikes Back was number one again a couple weeks ago.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Did they say that New Mutants is going to be on Disney Plus, or was that just a rumor?
I think that's a rumor. I think they're still planning on releasing it.
Or is it coming out in August? It's going to be like the first one in theaters. Is that what?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
At this point, just put it out on Disney Plus. Jesus Christ. Seriously. Like, if you put Hamilton on Disney Plus and you could have made money on Hamilton, why would you not put the New Mutants? No one's going to go see that.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is they told the theaters that they were going to put it out with them. They don't want to, like, renege on that and, like,
they could always slot in Mulan. Like, yeah. Disney has movies sitting in their back pocket that they could slot in there if they wanted to.
Right, but the Motion Picture Association, they went crazy on Warner Brothers when they pulled Trolls 2.
That was Universal, I think.
Is it Universal?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, Universal, right? They like, banned them from their theaters. But I don't know. I have a feeling half the movie theaters in the country aren't reopening anyway.
Well, you also, you can't do that to Disney, because if you do that to Disney, you might as well just shut down.
Yeah.
You know, every other movie they sent out makes $1 billion. It's a draw. What are you going to do? And I understand, like, movie theaters don't make jack, but if it brings people to the theater, then they can make money on other, you know, concessions and whatever. So they're not going to tell Disney no.
Okay, so I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't remember any big note, you know, some little things. I think there was a Donny Cates book or something. But I think it was all... Or maybe it was just in preference, or, you know, before the new previews came out. So, you know, just a standard release, not necessarily a San Diego release.
The Donny Cates book looks good, though. Crossover. Okay. You see the cover of it? Mm-mm. It's a kid, like, opening a comic, and his... face is getting melted off. Like, it's pretty good. I dug that cover.
Because it'll melt your face off.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I don't really remember anything, any big news. It's like, I'm not sure what, you know, what's Marvel doing after Empire.
I'm sure as soon as they find out, they'll let us know.
That's true, because it's like 5 months out, so they will let us know.
No, Empire's
over in a month.
Well, it's weekly. Well, not quite. It's weekly until the last issue, which ships a month after issue 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then, so, they'll be like, oh, no, there's a penultimate. Or like a seventh,
right, though. Right. But the next event will start before that issue comes out. Mm-hmm. Oh, Marvel. Well, no. Oh, that's right. We got X of Swords.
Yeah. So that's in October now?
Yeah, because that's just in the new previews. We hadn't ordered any of it yet. It's so funny, the weird stuff. Like, looking on the previews, there's a Captain America shipping next week that we ordered in February.
What is it, 21 or something?
21, 22, yeah. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Can't plan these things.
So
I can't believe you're not eating that, Harry. I gave you a nice treat that you normally like.
Saving it for later.
Maybe. Somebody else is going to steal it on them. Because she's that way.
I think it's hard at this point, though, for anybody to announce anything.
Because they don't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And how much stuff, like, has been done for a while, like, some of the... Like, every time I watch, like, a news interview and stuff, and it's, like, clearly was from before, it's like, why were you sitting on this? You know, it just seems weird. But I have a feeling some of the books that we're getting have been sitting around for a while, like, were printed a while ago.
And yet, somehow, the three Jokers are going to get delayed again.
yeah. I got some talk about that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Man, I'm setting you up. I didn't even know it.
So IDW, you didn't look at the invoice yet. So IDW's publisher has been put on administrative leave.
5 days after getting
a
job.
Yeah, so interesting.
You'd think you'd do some diligence there.
To be fair, well, I don't know.
It's an ongoing lawsuit from like 20.
Well, it's not ongoing. He admitted and settled and everything. Okay. Yeah, he admitted that he's that he.
But it's from like 2011 or 2012.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Improperly enriched himself.
Yes, basically took store overstock. From my understanding, took store overstock, sold it to mycomicshop.com, and pocketed the money.
And
to the tune of a lot of money.
He took the customer list.
Right, with him, and he also took stuff on consignment and sold it and didn't give the consignees their money. So, but I know Earth One, because I know the owner of Earth One, and it was over $100,000. So, just a lot of, you know, is this really the guy you want in charge of selling to stores, a guy who's ripped off, you know, stores?
Half of them. Well, he knows all the owners.
Yeah.
It seems like IDW is in... just kind of going out of business mode anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter who.
When he was hired as part of their like global brand or something, everybody's kind of like, eh, okay, but then all of a sudden when he was made publisher, I think there was a lot of, you know, people got a hold of him going, this might not be your best move, because...
But it may also be just the environment we're in now. They didn't want to bring somebody else in, and he was the best of what they had inside.
Could be.
I mean, I know
it did, but... they just gave his job to one of the other
three that they're somebody else who was there. Yeah.
They're not staffing up, so...
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing.
IDW is probably going to be out of business in the next calendar year, right?
Possibly. It doesn't appear to be going well for them.
Although I think they're getting a Baby Yoda book. That might save the company. I'm just saying.
They were reliant, their business model was reliant on them taking comic books to shows, and...
Could be, like, you know...
Seems
know.
Like they weren't successful in that. They've only got Winona Earp.
Oh, to TV shows, yeah. Well, yeah. I thought you meant to conventions. No, I thought you meant conventions. I'm like,
no,
your business model is selling at conventions. That's a...
No, it's to...
Gotcha. Well, I mean, they did a ton of licensed stuff. That was one of their few original ones, was Winona Earp. But I mean, Lock and Key's been really well for them.
That cost a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Marvel, where Marvel has their own characters and can you know, kind of parlay those into other things.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Dark Horse is doing.
You know what Bad Idea is doing. They're waiting for a billion hits.
Yeah, they're hitting the button. You know, I think I got a response to that tweet. I don't know if we got any questions, but I did get a response to that tweet. Because they said it was a tweet that they, you know, they didn't hit the thing, and I'm like, it's Wednesday, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I've been hitting it.
Dark Horse reminded me. Did we talk about this? Marvel got the Aliens and Predator rights.
Well, yeah, because Fox owns that stuff.
Right. Okay. Right.
So.
Because that used to be a Dark Horse.
I could see them just putting out a couple books. Having them not sell any better than the Dark Horse ones do, and then just being like, "Yeah, you guys can have a license to that." Yeah, but I don't know.
Unless they want to cross it over with Star Wars. Right, time Darth Vader fought a Xenomorph.
We got no questions, and I even posted on Instagram this time.
Man,
not a biggie. I don't care. It's just
I don't know. I feel like. With Predator and Aliens, part of their appeal in like the comic book world was crossing them over with stuff. And if Marvel's not going to do that, or if they're only going to Marvel characters,
well, so. Yeah, they might just do it with Marvel. But Savage Avengers versus Predator, you know, it writes itself. Yeah.
I heard that, you know, like Alien versus like, you know, Venom, you know, like that kind of.
Yeah.
Goofy stuff.
Or Venom versus Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd personally like to see Predator versus
Squirrel
Punisher.
Girl versus Alien.
Mm. I would love to see that.
So, yeah, there's lots of ways they can go, but just everybody's a little concerned about Dark Horse just because they've slowly lost all their licenses. And they don't have a ton of new stuff, you know, of their own stuff. So
right,
Hellboy can only go so far.
Yeah, it's not even like a whole bunch of that.
The
is
Burger
coming
books
out.
Haven't had a hit.
No,
yet.
They just won the Eisners though. Like LaGuardia won. I didn't read it, but
I think I'm more worried about Image with that stuff. because Image, like, Walking Dead and Saga not being, like,
we tried. They're doing Walking Dead Color. That's going to sell just as well.
But I feel like that's a bigger...
Yeah.
Because the books that Dark Horse lost, they never sold all that many.
No. But it was just, you know, but easy for them. But yeah.
But Image had a top 10 book for the last however many, more than a decade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't... Yeah. They need Saga back desperately. Or they need another hit. They just really haven't had another hit. We'll find out next week. Firepower starts next week. Mm. So we'll see how that goes.
So that's the one that it's... There's a free... All in the same day. It's a free comic book day, and it's a trade, right?
That already came out. That was a couple weeks ago. Out. Yeah, so next week is one and two.
Did you ever get any more of the trades in?
Should be in one of those boxes. Okay. I just got... Yeah, I got in five boxes of reorders today.
How many of those did you get? Was that
initially 10.
Did you have to order those?
Yeah.
Or was it a...
No, we had to order those. Yeah, I got 10 of the trades, and then I ordered four
Kirkman
more.
Stuff. Like the last couple of series, he does. You just set you.
Negan, we didn't order. Firepower, we did, but then it all got wonky because of it was all supposed to be Free Comic Book Day related. The trade was the Wednesday before Free Comic Book Day. The Free Comic Book Day book, and then one was supposed to be the next week. And then that, you know, sadly, that all got boogered up. So we'll see. I mean, that I don't know if it'll be a hit, but that's potentially a decent one.
I
but
think
it's not
the opposite. I think. Doing it that way and having Free Comic Book Day not happen, like, I think that really hurt them.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But I still, like, the trade, I already blew through 10 copies. I got four more in, and they're probably not going to last a week. So that's a good sign that there's interest in it.
Yeah, but had he done a normal number one?
Yeah. But he's always trying to do something different.
How many would it have sold?
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because number one's next week.
But are people going to buy that?
I don't know. I hope so.
Having not read the two intros.
Well, one, the one was a prequel, and I'm not sure if one is the same as Free Comic Book Day. I don't recall. So we'll see. It was returnable, so I ordered a lot. So, yeah, everything's wonky right now. Very, very wonky. It was interesting. The head of DC sales asked on a message board how Wonder Woman 759 sold today. And it was one of those... I don't know if I wanted to mention it yesterday, but I was going to ask today, how many of you saw promotion for 759? Either on Twitter, Facebook, things like this.
She just won an Eisner.
Right.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Where's the DC going?
Right.
Congratulations, Mariko Tamaki. And
yeah, that's kind of my point.
Your Wonder Woman book.
Because I'm looking at DC going, you just kind of disenfranchise your entire sales force. So you need to step up and do the promotion. You can't rely on comic book stores to do the promotions because you just increased my workload. So it was just interesting. A lot of the responses are, why? Why should we have ordered up? Because they're trying to make a point. Oh, we told you this was going to be big. It's like, but you didn't tell my customers this was going to be big. You know, I need to get the demand from the customers. I'm not pushing your books anymore. No offense. I have a lot of books come out every week. You guys move to the bottom of the list. So, good luck.
Have they made an argument as to why this book should be big?
It's a new it's a new creative team.
It's a new creative team, but...
That's it.
It's not a popular creative team. She's
right. And the problem is...
There's a big difference between awards and sales.
Right, and how many creative teams have we had on this book since it started? Because you had Rucka, then you had G. Willow Wilson, Steve Orlando, Shea Fontana...
Wasn't Jamie Robinson on it for a little bit?
And then whoever...
That's one a year, right?
Right. So, or about. But it's like, you know, you've had a lot of creative teams. None of them have moved the needle. Mm-hmm. Tell me why to get excited about this. You know, and don't tell me how to get excited about it. Tell you to get excited about it. And I just don't see them doing that. But I think they didn't realize that they needed to ramp up their promotional effort. Which just makes me laugh that they don't understand cause and effect. If you make me do an extra hour or two of work a week just to sell the same number of books, I'm not going to be all that excited about selling your books. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
My Three Jokers comment. So when we ordered the $200 lighted sign, we were told that we could get the acetate signs for $20 a year. That's how much it was going to be for the signs to put in there. Okay. Not thrilled to pay for promo material, but that's not awful. Year two rolled around. It was going to be $80 for the signs. And I'm like,
That's a big jump.
That's a big jump. And when confronted or asked about it, DC's response was, well, that's almost our cost on those. To which we all kind of went, why am I paying your cost on your promo materials? Yeah. And I also pointed out that $20 per poster needs to generate that much sales above what it was going to sell. You know, it's a promotional poster. It should make people excited. People ask for it.
Harley Quinn, one of the...
Yeah, Harleen was one of them. Yeah.
Like, that's not going to... Like, you're not going to sell more Harley books.
Well, it could raise awareness. Oh, what's that book? Yeah, put me down for it. That's all I want a promo poster to do.
But that only works if it comes before the book comes
That out. Is correct. It only works if it ships with issue one or before issue one, not at the same time as issue two. The Watchmen poster we got came the week after the TV show ended. So everything's been gone. They got a little closer. The death metal poster only shipped the week after number one came.
They had that big time in between, like, you know.
So going back, they then said, no, you're right. We told you it would only be $20 a year. We'll honor that. Okay, cool. So I did order them. So I get the Dark Knight's Metal one, and it's invoiced at $24.95. Okay.
That's fine, as long as the other ones are free.
Correct. So next week, we're getting the three Jokers. Yay, 2 weeks before the book comes out. As someone else pointed, because the book's been delayed, so they had plenty of prep time. Problem is, it's also costing me $25. So not only is it not going to be the $80 they told us they were going to charge us, it's going to be $100 for these promo posters.
Can you tell them to shove them up their ass sideways?
I'm going to send an email to that effect, just saying... I posted on a message board where the guy said, in response to his... post saying we will honor the $25 for the four promo posters. I posted saying, hey, I'm seeing this second one being charged at $25. What's up? I said, I hope it's an error. So, no response.
Now, I'm not a lawyer, but that seems to be breach of contract.
It does. Even, I don't want to say even worse. Oh, did you eat his cookie? You're a stinker.
He doesn't seem to mind.
She doesn't care. But it's also a breach of trust. I believed you when you said this. You lied to me.
Right.
Don't ask me to trust you in the future now. And that's a very bad position for a salesman to be in, where they're trying to sell me on stuff, and I can now not trust them. This book's going to be $4.99. I don't trust you. I bet it's going to be $6.99 when it comes in, and I'm going to order based on that, because I do not trust anything you say now. And that's the position DC has put me in. Because they've changed prices on things too often, and then this was just a flat out, it's supposed to be $20, and now it's going to be $100. That's a large difference, and especially not for something I'm selling. I can't make any money off these.
Yeah.
This is flat out lost money. And I'm like, so you're basically just telling me it's okay to throw away $80. I'm going to say none of my customers would be happy if I said, hey, give me $80, and then not give them anything for it. You know, so that's what you're doing. So,
I mean, but to that effect, you can refuse delivery of that.
Not really.
No, you can't.
You'd have to find it in the box, right?
Well, no, they ship in their own box, so I also spend $20 shipping each one.
Which, again, if...
I know, it's...
Send them an invoice.
Yeah. So it's just not a good look for them right now. They're not. It's like, how many things can you do that are anti us? You know, you're even if it's a mistake, it's not looking like a mistake. You know, it's looking
pretty bad. No, once it's a mistake,
yeah.
28 times is kind of a pattern.
So I will today. You know, it's Wednesday, but tomorrow I will compose an email with screenshots of both comments, you know, the comment saying we'll honor this, and then going, what's up?
Well, but I mean, the original agreement you signed said $20 per year.
Right.
Therefore, they can't charge you more than $20 per year.
Right.
You can refuse payment.
Right. Well, right. But I can't send Diamond $25 less.
Actually, you can.
I can, but then Diamond cuts me. You know, then it just becomes...
I get it. But...
Mm-hmm. So, I will take it up with the people I know there going just, hey. I was really hoping to have gotten a response today. What you gonna do?
I may be plotting whatever they're going to drop on you on Friday.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, maybe I'll send it for... I'll drop it on them Friday. And see what... The, yeah, it was funny. Somebody posted Friday going, my God, because we got the email and there was nothing bad in it. And I responded back, well, I said, well, they maybe picked this week for the skip week. Because, like, this week they skipped shipping books. Maybe they skipped last week for any bad news and they'll ramp it up this week. So, we'll see. But it was funny. So, on the post, all the responses are, why should it have sold more? And lots of people, I didn't even get them. You know, I wasn't shipped them and different things. And then, of course, Ryan Higgins jumping in going, they sold great. I saw them selling, because he's just the DC total fanboy. It was so funny. Another store went, oh, right on cue, Ryan. You know, because he's just always the big DC defender on the boards, which is always funny.
Which I don't get. I mean, he's got to be getting hosed.
He says it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to a store.
I don't get how. Hal's doing it, unless he was already working off spreadsheets. Like, if that's the case, okay, fine, because you're not doing anything differently. But if you were already automated...
Somehow it's causing him to sell double the amount of DC he was selling before. So, good for him.
That should have nothing to do with it. Where he's getting his books from should have nothing to do with the amount of books he sold.
I agree.
He can say whatever he wants, but that's a non sequitur.
I agree.
But I can see he does a lot of stuff online, so I could see if other stores are shorting, him being the biggest fanboy in the world, people might go, oh, wait, where can I get these now if my store's,
could be
stocking them to volume or whatever. So I could see him getting some, some spillover just because how, prominent he is.
And yeah, I you're right. I mean, that could be it. But that doesn't work for the benefit of the industry.
Yeah,
that
I doubt works he's selling them off the shelf.
Detriment of the industry. Because the other problem you have there is if, only four or five stores remain, you're going to lose a lot of people from the hobby.
Yeah.
But he said a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. Like, oh, it cost me the same amount to ship that from Lunar or whatever, USCS, whichever one he's using. He said it's the same cost to ship it. It's not a difference. But then it's like,
yeah, I mean,
a single other retailer who said that.
Yeah, I mean, the shipping from them seems to be less than the Diamond shipping is. But the fact is, if that was just all merged in with the Diamond stuff, would it have been two extra boxes,
But if he's such a DC fanboy, you don't know what his outside sales are.
Oh, right. They may I don't know what his sales are, but it's just I just see nothing but more work here. Everything they've done has created me having to do things twice. And no matter how you count it, that's time.
Well, and that's
and again for no benefit. We're not getting cheaper books. We're not getting better books. They're doing nothing different. It's the same books. It's just taking me more effort to get them. Yeah. So right. That's why we're all going. What's the benefit to me? Less damages. Maybe I still have damages. I had more damages with my DC books this week than I did with my entire Diamond shipment. So.
But and you that's not necessarily just, on them, though.
But it's one box getting crushed, and it's UPS, and I completely understand that, but it's still a case. It's a crapshoot. Who knows? Right. I had, seven books damaged this week, from Diamond.
Well, but it's also, it's a true crapshoot if it's a Diamond box, because it could be some Marvel, or it could be some IDW, whatever.
True.
If it's coming from, DCBS, we know what it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, I am getting, I got my credit for a couple things, and then I'm getting replacements finally for the first time next week. Yay.
I heard they launched like a website for that.
Well, they added something onto their website where we can just click and say this was damaged. Well, before you had to send an email and pictures. So we'll see. I guess they accepted my pictures as damaged. They were, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of question on it. But.
Yeah. Well, and they're also retailers, so they know how to.
Yeah, but the one problem there is they seemed unprepared that there would be damages. So it was kind of, why weren't you ready for the, you know,
well,
you've done this before.
Yeah, but if they're used to shipping two books and.
Yeah. But like, that was the picture I sent. I'm like, yeah, there's not a whole lot of question where the damage is.
Yeah.
You know, it's. Kind of, you know, I'm not being super picky. They're damaged, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing that's I've always wondered about the industry is, like, what's the definition of, like, a sellable book?
Right.
Because, like, a book like that, if it went to, like, a magazine store.
Oh,
like,
sure,
like
sure. No, no, absolutely.
They would put that out and sell
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, absolutely. But just, it's not just a sellable book, it's also a collectible, and people don't want it with a big crushed corner. You know, but especially as a store, you have to know that.
And I mean, but even like, I've bought books that have been damaged before because I really want to read the story.
Right, right.
And it's not a book that I'm buying for collectability's sake.
Yeah. And I'm always asking Tim, where's the damage on this?
Yeah.
Like, I can't see it.
Well,
and I buy books that look normal, and then you get in them, and like it's the wrong story inside.
Right, yeah. Right. No, there's some
out.
Of that, but
yeah.
For the most part, like here, I'll show you another picture. Oh, this is good radio. but now this was a diamond box from last week, and you know, and just pretty much everything in that box was crunched. So,
yeah.
You know, and I just declare it all, but some of the ones that were, like, it wasn't the spine on that corner, you might not see it,
but
I look at it and realize every one of them is crushed.
Yeah, that looks like that. Like a, there's like, you can see a wave in the spines like going
yeah.
downwards.
Yeah, because then, you know, there's what the box looked like, and the entire corner got crushed in. So, and it's just a case, yes, a couple in there might be okay, absolutely.
And
but
have people who don't care. But,
absolutely,
you know,
and I have those.
My five-year-old kid.
Yeah, no, I have customers who don't care because they're just readers, and that's fine. But if I have 20 damages, I'm not going to say, oh, but I might be able to sell five. It's like, no, give me ones that are on bent.
Right, because there's nothing that you have 20 shelf copies of.
Right.
Right,
and that was my problem when it was seven copies of Detective. And they're like, well, we'll see if we can send replacements. I'm like, well, the problem is,
those are subscriptions.
I didn't. Well, no, those were probably shelf copies, but I needed those seven.
You don't have to tell them that. I mean,
no.
Subscriptions. And
but it's like, it's not a number one where I'm trying to kind of taking a crapshoot and maybe I need them. I needed these. I know how many copies of Detective I'm selling at this point.
Right. And if you don't sell me these seven, you can expect seven less of
the next
10
yeah.
issues
yeah.
because.
So, but yeah, they just, UCS Midtown just hired a guy I actually know. So that's good. As a customer service guy, he's a former Valiant sales guy. So that's good that they're addressing that. But I also understand their point. You know, what are they paying him?
Yeah.
And
they've got to make that up somewhere
they,
in the
right,
operation.
Right, right. Is, you know, was that part of the, you know, deal? Not only did we need more warehouse people and shipping supplies and, you know, so at some point, I wonder if they're going to be like, you know, this isn't worth it. And then where's DC? You know, all these little factors. It's like, okay, they're making, you know, X amount per book they're shipping, but are they shipping enough to offset the new added costs?
And do you, when you say this isn't worth it, do you mean this isn't worth it to have this customer service, so we'll just have a lower standard?
No, this isn't worth it
just,
to be a distributor for
DC,
and let's just go back to what we were doing.
Because think about it, if you're, you know, when Diamond did it, they had all the publishers that they were getting a little bit of money from. If this is just DC, you know, DC is not giving up that many points to be able to offset it. And there's certainly not the same volume of just DC as opposed to all the publishers.
That guy's busy. You just pulled somebody up. Up there.
That's the end of the month.
That's true. That's true. I didn't think about that. Stay safe out there, everybody. I didn't even think it is the end of the month, isn't it? Friday. I don't really look at month-to-month comparison. You know, year-to-year comparisons for me anymore. This year is kind of a wash. You know, I'm not going to worry about it.
Even month-to-month is still like a, you know, considering how the first couple of months you didn't have any.
We're coming up on April, right?
Yes, yes, Dave. It's almost April. Yeah, this is such a lost year.
You guys just wait until it's 11:59:60 on December 20, on December 31st. Clock's not going to roll.
Yeah. Remember when we were all happy to get out of 2019 and looking forward to 2020? Yeah. Good times, good times. That was a good 2 months.
I can tell you whether I'm going to look forward to 2021 in November.
Yeah.
I have my own thoughts there. We can discuss offline.
Yeah. This is not the politics podcast. Any other news? Like I said, we got no questions. And I did. I even used your picture, Brandon.
Oh. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Killing it.
Well, I used the picture and text. I did everything.
Man, it's coming next week. You don't have a PO for me. I'm going to be pissed if I don't
get it. Yeah, 3-0 Hawks. I don't have a what?
You don't have my PO for that. All I know is that if it ain't in my pile, we're going to have a problem next
Which
week.
One? What do you mean I don't have your
the
PO?
Child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on the other ones had like PO.
That's only if I had to do a. That was a reorder, and that way I'd know. If you did an initial, you're good.
Okay.
You're good. Fear not. Chill, axe, Pat. He needs his. He needs his baby Yoda.
I do. That's about the only thing that gets me through some days.
Baby Yoda eating frog.
No, sipping on the cup. Because it's the new Kermit the Frog thing, where like I don't know nothing about that. Because I just look okay. I don't.
So I just saw a meme online where it was Baby Yoda eating the frog, and then Kermit covering Kermit's eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robin. Okay. Sorry, I don't.
Little part of me died when you said
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. Not intentional. Yeah. So I don't know if any other news or things for me to mock.
There's plenty to mock.
There's the Jay Lee.
Oh yeah, the Tom King Jim, but that seems to got ironed out between them. Where I guess it was pointed out to Tom that Jay Lee was working with Ethan Van Sciver, so he was
He had.
Well, I don't know if he still is. I don't.
So my understanding was he did a cover for
Cyberfrog
in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
And then he's not on, like, Twitter or anything, so he didn't know any of the hoopla. And I think he did a variant for the new series, not realizing, you know, Ethan Van Sciver's a bad dude now.
But I can't imagine, though, amongst that circle, people don't
wonder where
know.
He lives, though.
But I don't know that he's in that circle. Because he could be just a, you know, an artist for hire, kind of, you know, in his own world, just, I'll do a cover for you, and if you don't, leave me alone kind of thing.
That could very well be it, but I mean, he gets a lot of work, so I would think he would be somewhat connected to that world and go,
maybe not.
Or it may be a situation where they asked him to do the cover, and at the time...
But at the same time, I feel like he gets a lot of work because he's like he's reached that kind of legend status, right?
Yeah.
Because I was buying his comics in the 90s. Like what was it?
Inhumans.
Like the Youngblood Files or something like that.
No, okay.
I still remember the Chapel cover. Like, but anyway, like he's a guy now who. He probably makes more money on like commissions than even just you know the cover, you know the monthly cover or whatever he does for DC or whoever. So it does, you know, he's an artist. So like a lot of those guys can just unplug and you know not worry about the rest of that. So
yeah,
but it just seems like. Tom King should have, you know, called the editor first and said, "Hey, what's the deal? Can I talk to Jay?" Or you know, because the editor probably would have went, "Hey, like Jay's not even, you know, he's not even in the loop when somebody told him about it. He, you know, he was just as disgusted as you are, that kind of thing." And it's just like, no, he just blasted them.
Well, people, I think people were happy whenever he went after the, what's his name, the guy who played Superman.
Oh, Dean Cain.
Yeah, like, so, you know, he went over that, and people were like, oh, good job. So he was probably trying to get, like, that, like, you know, calling somebody out on the Twitter kind of thing again.
I don't know what that guy's
Dean Cain's basically a game show host now, right?
Hmm?
Isn't he just like a game show host now? He was Superman 30 years ago, and now...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even know what he does. So...
But it looks like that all got
squashed,
cleared up. Trying to think if anything else happened online. Push the bad idea button. Get them their clicks. I have no idea what they're doing. But
they're 23 million.
Are they okay?
Oh, I doubt if they went up to 24 million, then we know it's a bomb.
Let's see. No. Still 21,976.
Okay. 21,246.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing there, but they're at least having fun.
Yeah.
We'll probably know in a couple months.
Yeah. Before the podcast, Pat and I were speculating that, like, there's probably a bot or something in the background that's, you know, has, like, a steady click pace so that, like, they know, okay, worst case scenario, this goes for X amount of weeks or X amount of days because, you know.
Right.
Especially if they're clicking it at a, like, a random number, how would you know
right
that it wasn't just people going yeah at it?
But with their first book being ENIAC, which kind of makes sense being artificial intelligence and stuff, so
yeah. And the pages that they've dropped mm-hmm as part of this
look good. It looks real good.
I'm more excited about the books now.
Yeah, my only problem with the books is that I have to order the same number of, like, 1 through 6. It just, that's not how it works. It never works that way, where people try number one, and the problem is you're always going to have X number of people that don't like it, Y number of people that only wanted number one. So it's just, there's always a drop-off.
Have they put anything, like, when their books mm-hmm are coming out? Or
no, they were getting ready to, and then everything shut down, so.
Well, and the other problem is, because this was the same problem you faced when they did the pre-order stuff at Valiant. You're not going to take a pre-order for 6 books, and you're almost forced to in this case.
Right.
Because if you can't get more number ones...
Supposedly we should be able to get more number ones, but as long as I can reorder, but that doesn't tie into my 2... You know, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't need to be stuck with 2 through 6. But I see what you're saying, but if... I don't want it to be, oh, you can order more number ones, but you also have to order more number 2 through, you know.
Because with number ones, the other problem you have is speculators.
Right. And I guess they're trying to thwart that, but it's still going to...
creating a bigger market for right it by doing it this way.
By doing it with only certain stores
and
all that.
Unless if they made you pay...
That's not how you wear the mask.
For the... For the first issue,
he works,
like,
at Walmart.
I know. He only had it on his nose, yeah, so that was kind of the opposite of what...
Mid drink. But, like, you know, they made you pay the price of, like, the whole series for the first issue. That'd be the only way
right
to, like, you
right
know...
And, they, you know, I don't know.
I'm going to buy all the...
Yeah.
At least the first year, because I think they're only putting out 2 series.
I think so,
six
yeah
to 12 issues a piece,
something like that.
So it's not even that big of a commitment.
Right.
Yeah, unlike AWA, God, and all their books have been good.
Yeah.
They
have a new one next week too.
It's what, Bad Mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I've been so pleasantly surprised by them. Their sales, you know.
So they have the Resistance. What else are they putting out?
They have Year Zero, Red Border,
Hell,
and
Hotel.
Antichrist? No, that's not. Archangel 8.
That one's actually really good.
Okay. Hotel?
Hotel's like an anthology series, so kind of like, think...
American Horror Story?
No. Well, I've never seen American Horror Story, but, you know, the guy is the hotel manager, and, you know, in room 3, this happened, and what we're finding
Twilight
is...
Twilight Zone or something like
yeah
that.
Yeah, all the stories you're linking into different rooms, but... Mm. The first two issues, like the first issue, you meet other characters, and then their lead of the second story, and then something happens, and then in the third story you find out that she was actually involved in the first story and you didn't know, and she kind of looked in on the second story. So it's
okay. Old Haunts,
that one's my least favorite. Okay,
and then Devil's Highway was only number one's come out of
okay
that.
I haven't seen, yeah I haven't read
oh,
that
is that, so is that the Ben Percy one?
Yeah,
it's it sounds like it's mostly horror and sci-fi.
Yeah, that's my impression so far.
Archangel 8 is not, well, it involves angels, so I guess you could call it sci-fi.
And Red Mother's not, or Red Border is not. Yeah.
Red Border is, well, no, it's, you know what, terrible. I would call that horror. It's actually a lot.
Like a thriller kind of.
Yeah.
Psychological horror kind of.
I'm a good boy. So, anything else?
I don't think so.
Brandon.
Oh.
We'll start with you.
I read a bunch of Empire stuff.
Okay, so did I.
Empire number 2.
Did it strike
back? Yeah, I didn't like it as much as one.
Oh, I like this one. I thought there was some, the cool scene where he's like, what's that sound?
Right.
And Thor's like, that's the sound of my open hand.
But why didn't he do that long before they all got tied up?
Because,
and, you know.
Because that plot. See, like, it's the rule of cool.
Okay.
Right? It's
okay.
Cool. That's the sound of my open hand.
Okay.
That is, you know, that's cool. But, like, and then the other thing that I thought was cool was they gave Captain Marvel Ronan the Accuser's hammer. Yeah.
What happened to Ronan?
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like I should.
Just weird that the new accuser couldn't make it work. Yeah.
And
so.
But the new accuser, if you read what's his name? The Emperor book that came out. What was it called? Why am I flicking on his name? Emperor Hulkling.
Okay, I did not read that one.
She is actually against him. Like,
Hulk Hulkling?
She was on the side that didn't want him to become emperor. So she's like, she'll probably be double crossing later based on what happened in that Hulkling book.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. These books, they've kind of run together because I read four books related to Empire. So what happened where?
That's why I haven't been reading Empire on Tuesday night, because I know it would confuse me to talk about. Yeah. Tonight,
but
dumb weekly books.
Yeah. So what was the? No, but I've liked.
I just didn't like two as much. I just thought it was a lot more just exposition, not as much stuff happening. Yeah. It was just where the twist in number one I really liked, especially after reading Empire Avenger Zero. I'm like, oh, okay. And then the way it twist, I'm like, okay, now I'm intrigued. And then number two was just a lot of blah 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 blah. About talking. A talking issue.
I liked number two, but I do think it was just a little notch below number one. Just because of the big moment in it was supposed to be, you know, Captain Marvel becoming an accuser. And I don't know if that hit me as like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As it should have.
Because she's already like the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe, and now you've amped her up more.
I like the part with Thing. With the stuff growing on Thing, and then they had to save him from that.
Yeah,
and didn't he cut him with the sword, but it didn't cut him or something?
The sword, like, it's a magic sword, and it knows whether you're friend or foe, so it can not hurt the friend part of
it. Not to give it away,
but knock the seeds.
But in this week's Spider-Man, basically the same thing happens, where Sin Eater shoots through Spider-Man to shoot somebody else, and the bullet goes right through Spider-Man, doesn't affect him, but kills the person who had sinned. So it's like, okay, somebody got that idea, and it was just almost the exact same scene. It was like
somebody wrote it on a napkin.
It was in a meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. But Emperor Hulkling was good. We kind of learn his backstory, because I haven't read any of that Young Avengers stuff that he was in, but it shows it talks about like who his mother was, and
she was like a princess and he was a Kree warrior.
She's a Skrull Empress, and then Mar-Vell is his dad.
Yeah,
like the original Mar-Vell. And yeah, he's his boyfriend is also from the Young Avengers.
Wiccan.
Is that who it is? Yeah. Wiccan.
I read that one too. I really liked it.
Yeah,
because it was Chip Zdarsky wrote it too.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of, I think I might, the stuff that Ewing and Chip Zdarsky are writing, I think I'll probably continue to pick those up. But I read the X-Men, the 104 that came out, and that was terrible. Did you read that one?
I didn't read that one.
Did you read that one?
Empire X-Men?
Yeah.
That was weird.
So I feel like that whole book was written around a really bad joke of plants versus zombies.
Yeah.
So in the book, the plants are landing on Genosha to start their invasion of Wakanda. They need like a base of operations. And but previously Scarlet Witch had gone back to Genosha, where apparently she killed a bunch of people? Something like that?
I don't know. No, it was Sentinels killed a bunch of people. Okay. And I think that's what led into no more mutants in the whole House of M thing.
But she resurrects these mutants, and
they're all zombies.
Now they're all zombies. Mm-hmm. So the plants, thinking that they would have an easy time just launching from this island, now it's full of zombies, so it's a Plants vs. Zombies joke.
Yeah.
And then later on in the issue, the plant-based Golden Girls from
right.
Hickman's
the,
run.
The horticulture.
The hoarder.
Yeah, horticulture.
The, because I remember we
talked
about...
Because the plants were infecting the...
Yeah.
Well, and then the zombies were going to come through the gate because they were technically mutants, and they showed up and... Blast them all. Yeah, I was confused by all the X Corp stuff. It was a mess of an issue.
And it's the
who wrote that one?
It was Hickman and Teeny Howard.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the
but
chapter
I feel like
headings.
Hickman's name could be on that only because he like created those characters or something. So, but they didn't make sense in the main X-Men book.
Right.
And they're just even worse here. The other criticism I have of this is like, the X-Men that are actually in this book, they are like barely X-Men.
Right. Angel, well, it's Angel, but in M-Plate, is that, or no, what's...
Magic.
Yeah, but what's Monica, or the one from the Generation
like,
X?
She's just like called M or something.
Yeah, but then when she takes that other form, I thought she had a different name, but whatever.
And Multiple Man.
Yeah.
Madrox.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah,
you put those four on the cover and you call it X-Men. It's kind of like he's barely X-Men.
No, I get it.
But the same problem happened in the Avengers, where the Avengers number one.
Okay, I didn't
it
read
was
that one.
Like you see the core team like in the like just call it like the war room, like they're talking and stuff. But the actual book is starring Quicksilver and just like. Just okay. Total, like, not even B-listers, just, like, really scraping the barrel. People I don't even think of. Vision's in it, but, like, barely. The shirtless guy with the tiger from the Savage Land, what's his name?
Kazar?
Kazar. Okay. And it's, like, not really Avengers Covers. Here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that book was another one that I was just like, nah, this isn't one. So I picked those up just because they have the titles of the books that I'm reading, but they weren't good. So I'll
I'm glad I
those.
Didn't pull those for all X-Men. Like I saw other stores pulling them for all X-Men people. I'm like,
I could see an argument if people were like, I want Empire, maybe the
Empire
and X-Men, like maybe pull it for them. But yeah, if you're, but the Hulkling tie-in was actually really good. Okay. I'm glad I read that one because the Hulkling made,
well, that was obviously
made no
more
sense.
Involved, right?
Yeah, made no sense to me, and that was very much like, it's the same problem that they had with the War of Realms, where some tie-ins
were
like
good,
very
tied
in,
and some weren't,
and other ones were like here's what happened on Antarctica.
Yeah. It's your $5 guess.
Yeah.
He did such a good job of making the character, making his decisions real, making them human at the end when he has to denounce Billy and fell darned. It was really good.
Yeah, and I didn't even know who that character was, and I still felt like, whoa, that's I'm
glad they're doing more with these Young Avengers characters because they're great characters. That first Young Avengers run is really good.
Who wrote that?
Alan Heinberg. He was writing for like
TV.
He was writing for the show on Fox. Not Beverly Hills 90210, but the other one.
Melrose Place.
in the 2000s.
Class of 95 or something like that? I can't remember. But
I'll think of it.
Trying to think, what else did I read? I read Spider-Man.
The
Sin Eater. That was good.
Yeah. Sin Eater. Yeah.
I thought that was a good recap for a lot of people haven't read that storyline.
Yeah. This is kind of a rehash of what they already did in the main Amazing Spider-Man, but this didn't feel like a Spider-Man book at all.
Mm-mm.
It felt more like a Brubaker like criminal book or something like that.
Yeah.
It was very tonally very different than. Spider-Man until you get to the last couple pages where they're taken from the old issues, but I really dug that.
I like how like in the towards the end they threw in like those couple pages from the
actual issue, but it was basically just recapping who Sin Eater is and what his story was,
because the only thing I really remembered him from was like that's who Eddie Brock said he knew who he was, right, before, like, getting Venom. I think, wasn't that, like, his big, like, oh, I found out who Sin Eater was, and then, like, Spider-Man caught Sin Eater, and turned out that's why he was, like, in the church getting ready to kill himself whenever the Venom, the symbiote got him, I think.
Symbiote.
Another thing I read that I don't know if anybody else read this, but G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, Complete Silence.
Was it Snake Eyes issue?
Mm-hmm.
It is the original Snake Eyes issue, which was like 21, I think. And then later they put out a 21.5, and this is like the two of them together. Mm. But the quality of 21, which I've read a couple times, like, if you're not familiar with that, like, it was an issue that was released without words, but it stands by itself, and or like it makes sense through the whole thing. It doesn't need the words. And what I've always heard is that it actually was supposed to have words, but they were like behind on deadlines. Because there's a couple of places there where you're like, would Cobra Commander not say something, or would Destro not have like a thought bubble when he's looking at the TV screen, that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's a reprint of that with the 21.5, which basically fills in there's certain gaps of like, people moving and like moving around from like, off panels. But honestly, the 21.5 part of this, which I had never read before, like it doesn't really add anything.
Okay.
And I thought they were going to take it and sort of mix the two, so it would be like completely different, and it's really not. It's the first issue and then the second issue, and the second issue by itself is just really boring. Like the 21.5, it's not nearly as good. And that one was not written by Larry Hama. Like it's different artists, different everything. So it like they go together, but it's like it didn't really add anything. So. I didn't even know they had put that out until I saw this solicited, but that was good. Let's see. Did anybody read Batgirl?
Yeah,
I did.
So, this is the first issue of Batgirl I read, and
me too.
Read it just because it's the Joker tie-in. But, Batgirl is in her apartment
very a really much. Run-down apartment.
Yeah, a little weird, yeah. But it's Gotham City, so I, you know, suspend disbelief. But
you don't need wallpaper on all the wall.
Yeah. So she's, it's very reminiscent of Killing Joke, and yeah. She's like going about her business, and like in her apartment, and you see his kind of shadow in the background, and she's having this internal monologue, and she kind of realizes, wait, I'm not in the room by myself, and she chucks a wine glass at him, and so anyway, they start having a confrontation
over wine, you know.
And
as one does with a person that tried to kill him.
Yeah. Well, he's got this device which hacks her implant.
Which was supposed to be unhackable.
Yeah. But they don't explain why. They just say, it's unhackable. And it's like, why is it unhackable? Because clearly he's hacked it. And so she can control, or he can control her because of this. Which I would think he'd only be able to control her from the waist down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because some of the poses she's in, she looked very possessed, like arched back. Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird.
You know, so, yeah. But anyways, she, in order to, take him out, she ends up stabbing herself in the spine to destroy this implant.
So there were a couple things that I found weird where, like, he had gotten close enough for her to punch or headbutt. I'm like, if you're controlling her and she's basically lying on the floor, why would you get that close?
Yeah.
You
know, just...
Because he can.
Yeah. But yeah, then she stabs her spine and then impales him on a rod.
Yeah.
And that's how it ended. So that was interesting.
But
probably wasn't a bad issue.
Like no, it wasn't a bad issue at all.
Seems like maybe we're getting Oracle back?
Right, because it's ending at 50. So. Yeah.
And I think... I think that, like... there's been like a lot of fan demand to have Oracle back,
yeah,
because she is the only, or not the only, but like one of the main disabled, characters.
Oh, and they can make Cassie Kane back again if they want to do that.
Or Bluebird. There's the big rumor it's Bluebird.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think
what was that Harper
something? Rogue? Yeah,
yeah. And the other thing is, like, they have been having Lucius play the kind of Alfred Oracle role, and I feel like,
well, can't it, now.
You know, it doesn't feel completely out of place because of they did pretty much the same thing in the movies, I feel like it would just make sense for Oracle to step back into that role. Now that Alfred's gone, so.
Now that is a complaint that I had about the book, that they didn't say read, was it not Batman 95 or whatever? They didn't say read that one first because it gives away what happens to Lucius.
The cover treatments. There's like a prelude to Joker War, and then there's Joker War.
Well, that one says collateral damage.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which made me think it's a side story, so it didn't really matter which order I read them in.
Yeah, because I read 95 first, then that, then Detective Comics. And I should have read Detective Comics first. But then I noticed the cover treatment, and it was like, oh, it's...
Yeah.
Had I paid more attention, it would have...
But the problem is, so, like, all the Nightwing stuff has happened prior... So what I assume was that was just the Joker taking the pieces off the table, and that would have happened before Joker War, which it's not a big deal, you know, but it was kind of like, well, if I would have known that, I would have read that first and then read Batgirl. Not a huge deal, though.
Yeah. But if they just put a checklist in the front of the book...
Or that, too.
Like, they would solve that whole thing, because Detective wasn't supposed to come out last week, right? But it because of the scheduling stuff, it did, right? But like, they should at least tell me, hey, these three books that came out today, here's the order you're supposed to read them in.
Yeah.
But yeah, Detective. Let's see, that was one with
Two-Face.
Two-Face and the owls.
Yeah.
So
Lincoln March.
Yeah. But so
the bat brain surgery.
Yeah, the bat brain surgery. That's the so I don't remember Two-Face having a bullet in his brain.
I think that's what they like did at the beginning of the thing to say why he was acting like the way that he was, because like the bullet suppressed like the Harvey Dent more or something, I think.
Maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention, because I know it's been like that through the whole thing, but I just felt like you don't really need the bullet.
Yeah.
Because like it's a psychotic break. Who knows how he's gonna react, but
well, and it also oversimplifies things where, oh, well, we just removed the bullet, then we don't have the problem.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's not how mental illness works. Yeah.
It's like the in the cartoons, they get kicked in the head by the mule.
Yeah.
And then they just, to cure them, they just get kicked again.
Yeah. I have amnesia. Oh, wait, no, I don't have it again. No, yeah. That's not how that works.
Yeah. But the scene at the end, after, so he pulls out the bullet, and then Two-Face is in prison helping all the inmates with
their legal defenses,
and guy comes up and he's talking to him, and then he leaves the bullet for him, and then the last page is Batman swinging away with the face that he wore in prison, like in his hand.
Well, he said he was Matches Maloney. He had a match in his mouth.
Is that, am I supposed to know that Matches Maloney
is Batman? Yeah, that's one of his, like, alias.
Yeah.
When he goes undercover.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Batman 95?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an auspicious start. It didn't really hook me the way I wanted it to, but that's okay.
Yeah.
The, you know, Lucius, again, with the brain surgery, were they like Joker toxin acupuncture pins or something like that that were stuck in his head? And then we get more exposition from Punchline that, you know, she's been training for the last year. To not feel the effects of the Joker toxin, but what's in there is something she created. It was part Joker toxin, part fear gas, and then part venom to make sure it doesn't kill. So,
that's something too. Is like her first time out, she was able to make something that Batman doesn't have like a tolerance or a vaccine for, or something, like, you know.
But I mean, he's been dosed with Joker toxin with fear gas so many times.
Yeah, like, you think he would have
built the immunity at this point?
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't.
I didn't love it.
No, it wasn't bad, but I didn't love it.
Well, I think that's the problem with, like, when you have, like, this story, and then you have all those, like, the prequel to, and then, like, the other stuff. It's like, by the time you get to the actual story, you're like, I'm kind of over it already. I want the next thing.
I feel like the problem is Batman went from the crazy stuff at the end of Tom King's run into this crazy stuff, and there was no, like, reestablishing of a status quo. There wasn't, like, you know, 12 issues of just breathing room.
Yeah. Let him beat up some penguin guys that aren't doing anything, or, you know,
just have a nice
Solomon Grundy story.
Yeah, have a couple simple. Have a couple one-shots where he, you know, he gets a kitten out of a tree and does whatever. just let it cool down a little. Let him bubble over the stuff that, you know, the Alfred dying and things like that, and just kind of, you know, have him feel normal again to some extent, or at least me as a reader have I feel like a normal Batman, and then go into this stuff.
Well, I think the problem, if they did that, that delays what happens with Batgirl. It delays what happens with Nightwing for another, you know, 6 months, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. And Joker stories are hard to write because every time you got to one up what was written before, well, eventually it just gets ridiculous. You know, Punchline had brought up something where, you know, she thinks that the Joker thinks him and Batman are the only two people that are alive and everyone else is just already dead. He's helping them along. But, you know, that was very similar to Death of the Family, yeah. Where Joker's like, no, they're making you weaker. I'm here to make you stronger. It you know, it's kind of the just a different play on the same script.
So I'm sure the other stuff I read, other people read, so who wants to go next?
Yeah, the only other thing I want to talk about is the Joker, Harley, Criminal Sanity, Secret Files. That shit sucked.
Good, I have 30 extra copies. Thanks,
man. Well, it's not a story. It's like partial excerpts of like criminal pathology reports on Zazz, and you know, like the big evidence board with, you know, red string lines showing this and blue string. Like there was no story to it. It really didn't add anything.
It's more back matter, if anything.
It would have been good as back matter in the 12 issues that are, or I yeah. think it's actually a 9 issue, but whatever that is. But by itself, because, like, let's say, you know, this is the pathology report, it is a full page. Well, you're only getting 3/4 of it, and it's kind of cut off. So it's like, okay, so you didn't even give me really what it says.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they had an actual psychiatrist write part of it. Okay, great, but
yeah,
I was disappointed.
It's the kind of thing where I'm not a psychologist, so is, like, I'm sure if you were a psychologist, you might pick up on that. But
yeah.
To me, I would have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and even beyond that, it's a Joker book. If you're going to give me the psychology of a character, I want it to be of the Joker, not of Zazz, not of Firefly. I don't care. I want to read about the Joker. That was the point. just disappointing, especially it being a $6 book.
Did you read the previous Secret Files? The one with, like, Deathstroke?
Those are actual stories.
I thumbed through that one, and I thought the artwork was terrible. Is this one the artwork better? Or is it
This is in the same style as the Harley Joker Criminal Sanity book.
Okay.
So it's not house style at all.
Oh, okay.
Because Harley is actually, she works for Gotham City PD. The Joker is barely recognizable as the Joker. I mean, he has white paint on his face and green hair, but, you know, like a black leather jacket and all. It's, you know, kind of like the frat boy wannabe Joker more than anything else. Which, in the context of the actual story, it works, but for this, it just didn't. Dave?
I read The Resistance.
Oh, that too?
Yeah, I read that.
Number 3.
AWA?
Yeah. AWA, which I love this issue. I thought it was great. It's about a kid... guy, James Strzok, he's going to a powers placement agency to get his superhero identity. He has strength and he's invulnerable, and he's getting interviewed, and the person interviewing him pretty much writes down generic under the type of powers he has. So there's like a big naming wall where he can pick his name from and pick his costume.
Pick one from column A, one from column B, and that's your name.
And
the exercising was like how to land like the superhero like poses and stuff like that.
And they explained to him that he doesn't need to register because he has powers. He needs to register
to use them.
To use them.
Yeah, like you can own a car,
right?
You just have to have the license to be able to drive the car.
And he gets cold feet.
I didn't say this. He got cold feet. I say is he just saw through the BS.
Yeah, he just didn't want to put up with what they were doing.
In a lot of ways, actually reminded me of like The Boys, where like they have the marketing department and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of, mm-hmm. you know, oh well, here's your costume. And
but it was just Straczynski wrote this is just so readable, is the word for it. And Deodato's art is so good; he just makes every character look distinctive.
I like at the end where the guy who's like the.
The tailor?
The dresser for the superheroes. After the guy leaves, yeah. I knew you were going to do this. You had that look in your eye.
Right.
Go to these people. They're not as good, but they'll square you away.
That was a great moment. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so this is much different from the first two issues. Which were really good, too.
See, have they announced, like, are they doing another series after this series? Like, you know, like how Zero Year is getting, like, a second season... and stuff like that, because like they're like with the, because this is issue like 3 or 6, I got one like
I would think so.
Thing with that, like I don't know what they're gonna do in like 3 more issues. I would, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's just it. They really haven't resisted anything yet. They haven't come together yet.
Really, it's not. You don't even really know who's like really the story like is following, because like the first issue was like all kind of like set up. And then was it like the second issue, you got to see some of like the politics, and then this guy. I mean, like I've liked it, but they haven't really like gave you what the thing is yet, you know.
And it was cool at the end, that shot of him, the last page, and he doesn't even take a superhero name. He just says, "I'm James Struck."
Yeah, that's my superhero name.
And that was great.
No, and I know they want to do a like a shared universe type thing, but I don't know how that'll work unless. Whatever virus.
Well, I think it's certain books.
Okay. Because I mean, like, I could see how the Archangel book could tie into other things, just based on what it is. I could see how the Red Border stuff ties in. But like, the only thing I could see is the original virus goes latent.
Yeah.
And maybe it comes back, and that's what, you know, that combined with. The guy that they found in Antarctica causes a zombie apocalypse later. Or maybe it's all happening at different time frames. I mean, Valiant does that where you got some stuff happening present day and things happening, you know, 2,000 years in the future.
And the other one is Billionaire Island.
I read that.
Yep.
Number 3, which this was kind of a wild issue. Starts with the funeral of Corey Spagnola, who was assassinated by this guy Trent, who they're interrogating now.
Yeah, he won't talk.
And he won't talk because he says the billionaires have treated the world like their own private golf course.
Well, he's not wrong.
And I know, which it reads like a. A lot of it reads like a documentary to me, which is like as crazy as the book is.
Yeah, that's when the Resistance and a Billionaire Island come out in the same week, and then you have a global pandemic. It's like, man, I don't know what I want to read comic books for a while.
I know, seriously. And then we have the reporter Nellie. She escapes from that hamster cage. And makes her way to the desert.
Well, she brings one of the other guys.
Well, that was her camera guy.
Yeah, the hipster
camera guy.
Yeah.
And they trying to flag down a helicopter or something, and they find another guy, this real estate developer who's been living in this cave for like 5 years.
But he's happy.
But he's he's happy because all the stuff washes up on shore for
him. Like end tables or whatever.
There's like one thing I forget what he's one thing that washed up, and he was all excited that
it, I think it was end table.
Yeah.
End table. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But he's got his woman.
And then the whole deal back to Trent. They trying to decide what to do with him, so they decide to bring him the chairman.
Oh, yeah. Who's the richest billionaire on Billionaire Island.
Who is Business Dog.
Yeah.
And they put out these two bowls that say live or die. He's about to eat from one.
Well, the reason he became that is because he was the dog of a billionaire. Okay. And the billionaire left everything to him.
Okay.
But he had to make decisions about that. So they just put bowls of, right. You know, this stock or that stock. And he became the greatest trader in the world, just effectively picking at random.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh, that was great. I think this only has one more issue to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Four issues? I think so.
Okay, I thought it was six.
I thought it was a six.
I thought it was four.
I don't know how he's going to wrap this up then. It's got to get a second scene. Well, yeah, I mean, there's that.
Did anybody read the things in the back?
Why do you always ask that? No,
I didn't read these ones.
We all have intention.
I think I read them once.
Honestly, I read them last issue. I didn't read these ones this issue.
I read them in Second Coming because there were a lot of, like, it was a lot more, like, it was basically, it was angry letters in that one.
Yeah.
So, people...
Those are kind of fun to read.
Yeah.
But it's people like, you'd say like, you have to answer me this before I'll even buy the book. And it's just like, well, I don't care. Don't buy the book. So, yeah.
You have to answer what the book's about before I buy the book or I'm not
buying
it.
Tell me the ending or I'm not buying it.
And it's the recipe at the end, Spencer. That's from Pickle's Pantry. That's from the Ashen Thorns.
Oh, yeah.
That character, that like right thing is in Ash and Thorns, that they've been putting those recipes in the back of that book. Go ahead, Spencer. That's all I got.
The Spider-Man Free Comic Book Day issue. The first section of this is basically just a Black Cat and Spider-Man story of them hanging out, and they were just like eating Chinese, and they stopped the Vulture from he had some kind of, he was buying some kind of, like, fear toxin kind of thing, from somebody, and so they stop him, Black Cat, let him go away, but she put one of the bombs on him, so when he got far enough away, it went off, and he went all, you know, he's all having a fear attack or whatever. And then the second part of it is like the Venom leading into like the new Venom story arc, where like he's talking to the Avengers and telling them about, you know, Noel coming and all that stuff like that, and introduces that new the new guy in the messed up Venom, like, duct tape outfit. It was alright, I guess. Did you read Wolverine?
I did. You'll have to refresh my memory.
I was gonna say, I don't really remember, like...
It's a good start.
What was going... Like, I was really confused.
Issue three.
The guy who I thought died in the previous issue... He's still in it?
I think that's part of the problem, because I think, like, the first two issues came out before everything stopped. Yeah, and then it took forever for this third issue to come out. I was completely lost and confused.
Yeah, because I thought he got shot in the previous issue.
Maybe they made it
brutal. But he got better. And then in this issue...
He gets Magneto drunk to steal his helmet to do something. Which I don't know why he's a cave Magneto.
Oh, that's right.
Like, why can't I have one of your helmets, Magneto?
What's it called? Who's the villain in this? Because they gotta bring up, the other dudes on the boat.
Yeah, he has like his own little crew of like Bishop and.
Yeah, it's on a boat, and then but somebody pretends to be him.
I remember it ending with them being in the dude's yard, and he gave him like a co-op plan, I guess, or no, like,
yeah.
I guess they're gonna be like partners or whatever. And like this was another one where like I didn't have trouble reading, I was reading it good, and then like it got into like the page of text, and I set the book down for like a day and just read, you know, read it, and then eventually came back to it and just, you know.
Yeah, but there was the this is I think I read this is like one of the first things I read, and I can't remember hardly any of it, but
I remember it looking cool.
It looked cool, and you had Wolverine and Magneto's helmet, but there's one scene where he's talking to the detective guy in his yard.
Yeah.
And they're both drinking beers. I think the guy's like watering his lawn or something like that. And Logan finishes his beer and just throws it on the ground.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, seriously? So, but yeah. They spoil the vampire plot in this.
Really?
Yeah, they make reference to, like, the vampires were taken care of, kind of thing.
Huh.
From the first issue, but those are what's going to be in 4 and 5.
Huh.
So I almost feel like 2 and 3 probably were supposed to be 4 and 5, but they, like,
so this is going didn't well.
Finish them on time or something. Because it feels like, because it just seemed a little off, because it was a throwaway line to something that happened previously, but that hadn't happened yet.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it just seems like, this Wolverine book makes no sense. Because the first one felt like two issues stapled together.
Yeah, because that's basically what it was.
Yeah. And now, now they finished one story beat in two issues, and we're going to go back to the vampire one, and that'll probably be another two issues.
Yeah.
So, it just doesn't seem like, all the other X-Men books, they're kind of trying to tie into what Hickman's doing to, I would say, varying degrees of success, but I don't think many or any of them are being successful in that. But but this one just seems like completely nonsensical. But it's not bad per se. Like, I enjoyed it while I was reading it, but, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't thinking, oh, I gotta drop this book, but like, I don't remember it.
So. Yeah.
It's the best one.
Yeah.
Shazam 13. So this is back to the normal, because the last issue was like a filler issue with like Batman, but this is another.
It's like ending at 15 or something.
Yeah.
It's been a disaster of a series.
Well, it seems like they have such bad luck with like Shazam books. It's like they can't ever get them off the ground or whatever.
I just remember it launched like when the movie launched.
Yeah.
So.
Or no, it was after, or it was before that.
Yeah, so the, what's the worm? The
Mr. Mind.
Mr. Mind, who has control of, Billy's dad, who was able to convince Billy to make him the seventh, champion of magic, so which gave him access to all that, which he was able to use to unleash, you know, all of the like evil realm to want to take over all the different seven like magical lands or whatever. Billy's trying to plead to his dad. He's like, you know, the whole like, I know you're in there, you can hear me, try to fight. And Mr. Mind tells him like your dad wasn't looking for you. We found your dad. He was like, you know, stealing off of people and just, you know, skimming by. Like, he wasn't a good guy. He wasn't out there trying to find you. So that really upsets him. And they were able to. He made him use the book of magic that has like all the magic in there to, give him access. He made Shazam say the spell to give him access to break everybody out, which it seems like Superboy, they had Superboy Prime hiding somewhere in there, so I guess he should be back here soon. So then with that magic book, Shazam uses it to shrink himself so he can go inside of his father's ear to fight Mr. Mime, you know. But it was an okay issue. Again, this is another weird one that's just weird, like, scheduling. And then The Flash 758. So the I can't remember exactly how it starts, but the main gist of this is it's still a lot of Barry checking up on, like, friends and family to make sure Reverse Flash hasn't tried to get to them. I mean, he has a conversation with his dad, who's like hiding out in this cabin out in the woods and stuff like that. And then, so he figures the only way to get, Reverse Flash's attention is to go back to his house, you know, his childhood home where he killed his mother at. They get into a big fight. The, everybody that Reverse Flash has got to join him, they all gang up on him, and they have him held up, and, so they have, like, the Flash can, like, vibrate himself to, like, move through walls or that kind of stuff. Reverse Flash vibrated himself in a way that he, like, was able to vibrate himself into the Flash's body. So now, like, the Reverse Flash is inside of the Flash. So then he, like, the issue ends, like, with him running off, saying that he has, you know, some family to take care of. And then there's, like, a couple pages where it's just, like, Barry floating around in this red, which I'm assuming is, like, the Speed Force, and, like, he has this sound coming behind him, and he looks, and, like, how they have, like, the Black Flash Death Racer kind of thing, like, the skeleton one that's always chasing, like, them when they're about to die. It's, like, two of those, but it's, Jessica Quick and, like, Max Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
It's them and, like, the weird skeleton thing, so I don't know if they're gonna try to start introducing more of, like, the extended Flash family, but that's it.
Okay. Daredevil 21 was the end of the Daredevil story. He puts back on his... He basically goes to turn himself in. And Foggy kind of intercepts him, saying there's a better way to do this. Daredevil then returns home, puts on his costume. Spider-Man's there to confront him, saying, I told you if you ever put that back on, I was going to turn you in. He's like, too late, I'm already turning myself in. And he goes to the district attorney to turn himself in. And the district attorney's like, you know, I'm not prosecuting. He's like, the deal is you can prosecute me as Daredevil, not as Matt Murdock. And the prosecutor's like, well, at least I need to know, you know, you need to unmask. I need to know who it is that I'm prosecuting. Well, Matt Murdock used to work for him, and that really ticked him off. And so now he's basically in jail about to undergo trial.
If it was really good.
As Daredevil? Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
There was a Supreme Court decision in, like, a previous issue that allowed superheroes to give testimony as themselves. That is, like, his legal name is Daredevil. So he could be, like, prosecuted as Daredevil.
Yeah, but it was good.
But if you go to jail as Daredevil, it's not like Matt Murdock gets to walk around free.
Right.
Right.
We'll see where it goes. But it's been very, very good. Art's been really, really good.
So, like, I've been thinking about reading this Daredevil run because it feels like a lot of the other Marvel books I'm reading, it's like everything is like a world-ending kind of like...
Yeah, this is not.
Whereas this is much more like...
Very self-contained. Yeah,
this is Matlock.
Yes.
Matt Murdock. So
personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like just the scale of it is just much smaller. The you know. Oh,
yeah.
So
yeah, no, it's been very good. Next, X-Men Fantastic Four, also written by Chip Zdarsky, I believe.
Is this an Empire tie-in?
No. No. They're trying to fix Franklin, and Doctor Doom is going to fix Franklin, because for some reason his powers are waning. But then the X-Men show up and are trying to save the mutants in Latveria, and Doom puts out these Doom Sentinels, and so there's all these people fighting.
Are these different than Doombots?
Yes, because they're like Sentinels hunting mutants.
Oh, so they're
But they're
pink.
Doom, yeah, Doom Sentinels hunting mutants. And then basically it all ends. Franklin's not fixed. It just kind of ended with a but apparently whatever Reed had where he was able to mask Franklin's mutant gene really set off Xavier, and so Xavier took that part of his memory out. And he didn't just erase his memory, he erased that part of it so that he knew that he couldn't remember it, because he didn't want him to be able to create it again. But he left him with the knowledge that he doesn't know what he doesn't, you know.
He doesn't know what he doesn't
right,
know.
But instead of just erasing it so that he just never had that thought. So it was kind of a weird ending. So there's definitely more going to be coming from this. It was okay.
They need to just, depower Franklin and make him a librarian or something.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, somebody can sign a book out from him. But, like, he's just out of the way.
Gosh, every so
yeah.
Then there were two new ones from Image. One was called Bliss, which is basically a type of drug. There's in this town where everybody's just has an awful life. There's these like creatures that live underground that control everything, and they know everything that's going on. And you have the main character, got his girlfriend pregnant, her dad, you know, then kicked him out of the family, so they've been on their own. And now the kid is real sick and in the hospital, and now they've run out of money because they got a $50,000 bill. Dad won't help him out. He's trying to figure out what to do. So he goes, there was a scene early on where he always brings his son an orange, and he gets groceries at the bodega and then gets beat up leaving there, but he still had the orange even though he's bleeding. And so he goes down to this underground thing to try to get work to pay these bills. And these creatures, you know, kind of respected, you know, that he fought to get that orange and fought this guy. So he's now going to work for them. And what Bliss is, it's a drug that kind of makes all your troubles go away. You know, that you take it and all of a sudden you're not worried about, you know, how bad your life is and everything like that. But I guess these guys kind of feed on that as well. So, interesting. Needs a little more. Chew, number one, was fun.
I read that.
It's Tony Chu's sister, who can learn things about people by eating with them, by having a meal with them. Whereas Tony, if he bites something, he sees, like, how the plant was grown. If it's an animal, he sees how it was murdered. So she is in this big heist with these other people, and they're all given very generic names. Muscle and Thief and
Mr. Getaway.
Yeah, the getaway driver's name was Getaway. And everything goes sideways.
Mr. Brownson.
And they had a meal beforehand, and a bunch of them got sick, and even people at the place they were going to heist got sick. It was weird. Everybody was getting sick. And everything kind of falls apart, and the one character gets shot and killed. And then so Tony Chu comes up to try to figure it out and is about to take a bite out of the person to figure out what all had happened. And the feds showed up, so he's like, well, I better not do that in front of them. And then he later then goes, and it's a family dinner, and shows up, and his sister's there. So conflict, da-da-da. That was about it. It was good. I mean, it basically right along the lines. It was different seeing the different art, just when you got used to, because
yeah.
Chu had one artist through the whole thing, and
yeah.
This is a different artist. Still cartoony, but not quite the same.
Right. An interesting thing is, his sister was not mentioned
in the previous series. In the
previous series at all.
Shocking. I need more money. Hey, we'll give her a sister.
But yeah, I like that. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So that's all I read.
Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Books. Now, my invoice is a little bit of a mess because I received more books, boxes of reorders today that are on this invoice than I did actual books for this week. So, but we finally have Alien, the original screenplay. This is from Dark Horse. It's been delayed a bunch of times. But this is, they've taken the original screenplay because they did it with Aliens 3 that had changed a lot. So they did the original screenplay for that.
So they're doing it again. I read the Aliens 3 one.
Yeah.
That was so terrible.
Okay. Well, here's your chance to read the Alien
one. The thing is, with that one, the whole reason I didn't like, or the whole reason everybody doesn't like Alien 3 is because they kill off all the characters except for Ripley, right? Newt and Hicks, whatever his name was. Like, they're all dead. Well, in this one, the Alien 3 screenplay, they live, but they're just not in it.
Oh.
They're just like, all right, see you later. And then it's a bunch of other people in it.
Okay.
It makes no sense. But I don't know. This, after reading that one, how bad it was,
okay.
This one, I don't know. I'd have to hear it's good before I'd
pick up. Ant-Man 4, so that'll make Mike happy that these are the books they finally decided to do. Same with Avengers of the Wastelands number 4. Bad Mother is a new one from AWA about a mom whose daughter is kidnapped and she has to go find her. Disaster Inc. number 2. This is Aftershock. That first one was interesting.
Really good.
Yeah, so this is finally coming out number 2. Empire number 4. Empire Handbook number 1. You know that's going to be good. Empire X-Men number 2. Fantastic Four 22 is an Empire tie-in. We have Firepower by Kirkman, number 1 and 2 are coming next week. Booyah. Giant Size X-Men, number 1, Phantom X, going along in that series. Horizon Zero Dawn is a video game comic. I don't know it. Lords of Empire Celestial Messiah. This is going to be about the bad guy.
Is Hawkeye Free Fall next week?
No. Not, well, hang on.
That was canceled.
That one's not, but it is coming.
Okay.
We have two pops, the Mandalorian child with cup and the child figure. Probably with frog.
Without cup.
Yes. Three Jokers, lead acetate sign. I already talked about that. $25 out the window. And that's it. Oh, wait, nope. Sorry. See, I got to forget. Here's what's coming from DC.
Oh, so the poster's from Diamond?
Yes.
That's incredibly...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're saying don't pay them. Well, I'm like, if I don't pay Diamond and if I send them a check less $25, that's going to create problems. Batman 96, continuing Joker War. Dark Knight's Death Metal, Legends of the Dark Knight. Deceased, Dead Planet number 2. Dreaming Waking Hours, a new series for Dreaming, the last one ended. Justice League 50, and Strange Adventures number 4. So definitely a strong week from DC compared to this week.
I feel like it hasn't been that long since number 3 came out.
Yeah,
it's been two weeks ago.
Yeah. So that's what we got going. I'm getting a bunch of book club books in next week, so maybe we'll start talking about maybe trying to do a book club. I definitely have the books coming, which made me happy finally.
We can all be in different corners.
Yeah, we'll figure out something. So I don't know what the August pick of the month is going to be yet. I got to think on that. So I think that's about it. If you have any questions, it's Pittsburgh Comics is the website, and Facebook, PGH Comics, is Twitter and Instagram. Dave, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.